In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, may our ears and our hearts be open to your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, what was on your Christmas list this year? Now, interestingly, as we get deeper and deeper into this age of internet shopping, Christmas lists seem to get more and more specific than they used to be. Sometimes you get a Christmas list that goes all the way down to links to specific websites with a particular item marked. Someone asks for a gift idea, and we can send them an Amazon wish list. And we think that item, that one thing, that is what will please us. We'll be happy if we receive that thing or one of the things on this list. But even if you're not the sort of person who maintains an Amazon wish list, you probably have expectations for your Christmas and your Christmas season. Many of you have certain family traditions that you maintain in the Christmas season. And you maintain them sometimes because either you or another family member is not quite willing to give that tradition up. Because it seems that if we give that tradition up, somehow this Christmas day, this Christmas season will be just a little bit less fulfilling than it would be had we kept it. We all have expectations. On the bad days, we expect the worst. Just knowing that something bad is lurking around the corner. And on the good days, we expect the best and we make bold decisions for our lives. But most days, we expect life to come at us much as it did yesterday and the day before and the day before that. And we just maintain the status quo. And we've just heard the words from Luke's Gospel about that night 2,000 years ago. And I want to back up a previous 1,000 years. So let's go back 3,000 years. And it's in these very same fields that the shepherds on this Christmas Eve stand now. A young man is doing the same thing, keeping his sheep. He leads them. He guides them. He protects them from the wild animals and from the thieves. But one day, this young man, doing what he does every single day, maintaining the status quo, is surprised when one of his father's servants runs towards him shouting a request, "Your father wants you." Now, this was very unusual, as this young man could go days without having contact with his family when he was keeping the sheep. So this was clearly important. It was clearly important if his father called for him. So he leaves his sheep and he follows a servant on the long walk back to the town. And as he arrives, he sees his father and he sees his 7 older brothers waiting for him. And seated along with them is an imposing looking man that he doesn't recognize. This man looks closely at him, his eyes drilling into him, and he slowly stands up and approaches him and suddenly pours olive oil over his head. And if all of that was not enough to shake up his day, suddenly, the scripture tells us, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, Scripture doesn't just say he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Scripture says the Holy Spirit rushed upon him and he was forever changed. The least likely, the youngest of 8 brothers. This is a guy who didn't even really stand to get much of an inheritance from his father. And he might be the guy who would be looking out for the sheep the rest of his life. In that moment, this young man's flock grew from animals in the fields outside of the town of Bethlehem to become a flock of God's chosen people. In that moment, David was chosen to be king by God himself. And now, 1,000 years later, 1,000 years after this event, in the very same fields that David had watched his flock of sheep, these shepherds, on this Christmas Eve, keep watch over their sheep. And they keep themselves at a fair distance from the night-darkened village of Bethlehem, partially for the sake of their sheep, so their sheep can feed, but also because no one in that town really wants them around. Shepherds are generally looked at as the lower rung of society. The reality was they spent all of their days and all of their nights with smelly livestock. Not only did they spend all that time with smelly animals, they allowed those animals to feed on people's properties when they weren't invited to. Like all Israelites, though, these shepherds knew the story of David, and they could probably relate to it better than most. David was one of them. David was a shepherd. And they also knew the promise that God had made to David. "I will raise up your offspring after you, and I will establish his kingdom. I will establish his kingdom forever." They knew that this prophesied the Messiah, the man anointed by God, who would lead his people to victory and to peace. No longer would Israel be dominated by the ungodly nations, but in fact, all of the nations of the world would look to Jerusalem and the Messiah for their hope. The local preachers and the prophets were always talking about how that Messiah was going to come. But you know what? At this point, it had been 1,000 years since that promise. And there was a lot of shepherding to do. So most days, You maintain the status quo. He didn't think that much about the Messiah coming. Maybe this Messiah would come down the road sometime, but in the meantime, it's business as usual. And as they yawn another typical work night away, suddenly an angel appears before them. And this angel is in a bright light. The glory of the Lord, the scripture tells us, surrounds them. Well, in this light, in this glory of the Lord, the holy presence of God, everything about them is exposed in this very moment. Every single dark secret of these shepherds, every sin, every way that they had offended God in thought, word, and deed, clearly revealed in this bright light, the glory of the Lord. And their absolute unholiness before a holy God causes them to be terrified. And they fell to their faces. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Fear not. I'm not bringing you bad news. I'm bringing you good news of great joy. Good news that is not just for the rich. Good news that is not just for the well-known people. Good news that is not just for the most religious in the community. Good news that is not just for some people. Good news that is for all people. Even the plain, ordinary, smelly, untrusted, and unholy shepherds. And the good news is this: "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." In this very place, this village in a far corner of the world, this village of Bethlehem, a baby is born. And this baby is Savior. He is Christ. He is Lord. Now, the first word that would have jumped out at them would have been Christ, because Christ just means Messiah. And the shepherds fully expected that the Messiah was going to come. And this Messiah would come and he would deliver God's people and he would rule God's people. And the second word that would have jumped out at them would be Savior, because absolutely, the Messiah is a Savior. Because that Messiah is going to come and he is going to deliver us from our oppressors. And that deliverance, they believed, might go beyond just from the political realm and even into the miraculous. For the prophet Isaiah had said that the Messiah would give sight to the blind and restore hearing to the deaf. They fully expected the Messiah to be a man like no other. But there's one word that would have really caught their attention. Did the angel really say that this child was Lord? For Lord was the title given for the one, true, almighty God. These shepherds knew their scriptures. They knew the Messiah was coming. They fully expected a Messiah who would deliver them. They were surprised at this point that it was happening right there in the midst of them in their lifetimes. And they were amazed that it was announced to them. They were just shepherds after all. Why them? But they were shocked and they were stunned by this other revelation. The shepherds and all of God's people expected a Messiah. They expected a new David. They expected a man anointed by God who would rule them and deliver them. But instead, they got God Himself. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Here is all the proof you need that I am telling you the truth. Go into Bethlehem, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, and that baby will be lying in a feed trough. the Messiah is God Himself. So they're already shocked and they're stunned by this. This is so much more than they were expecting. But then the angel goes on to say, God Himself is lying in a feed trough. It's already beyond explanation. Yet something that would have been thrilling for these shepherds to hear. And why would it be thrilling? Because not only were they chosen by God to receive this good news, God Himself was accessible to them, to shepherds, in the least likely of places. Where? In a stable. One of the few places where shepherds would be welcome. They were barely welcome in the town at all. We know they wouldn't have been welcome in the home of a king, in a castle, in a mansion. So here we see that truly Christ was for all the people. And in more confirmation of what was taking place, suddenly, Scripture tells us, there was a multitude of the heavenly host. And this means more than can possibly be counted or imagined. Praising God. We would look out the window and there would be angels as far as we could see. Down the road, miles. A multitude, something beyond our possible understanding. And all of these angels are singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased." Glory to God in the highest, for His eternal and His omnipotent Son had humbled Himself, was born in human likeness. He was born in the form of a servant, and He gave His peace. Not just an idea of goodwill among neighbors, being able to get along, but a peace that was God's undeserved favor given through faith in Jesus Christ. And the shepherds went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And here they found the Christ child, just as the angel said. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. These shepherds started the day standing in the fields, doing what they always did, keeping the sheep. And now, just hours later, they are spreading what they had heard and what they had seen to everyone they could. No longer were they just shepherds. They were now shepherds who, like David, had been chosen by God to receive Him. They expected a Messiah, but instead they got God Himself. Now maybe for Christmas this year, you expected to have a few days of escape from your busy life. God gave you a Savior. Maybe for Christmas this year, you expected to reset your life and get some control over all of the troubles that you are facing. God gave you Christ the King. Maybe for Christmas this year, you expected gifts. And God gave you one, Himself. There's often a pretty big difference between how advertisers tell us how we are going to feel at Christmas and what we actually experience. On TV, a wife can look out her window and see a new car with a giant bow on top of it. But most of us wonder when our car is going to break down. And that is a reflection of our lives in this sinful and this broken world. We live each day with the effects of our sin against a holy God. And if it was left to us to fix, we would continuously fail. It would be like rolling a great stone up a hill, only to have it roll back down, causing us to start over and over and over again. What are those heavy stones in your life today that you continually push up the hill, only to have them roll back down again? This Christmas, God wants you to receive the one thing that will give you all that you need, Himself. Now, during the Advent season, we hear two promises. We hear the promise of the Christ child, who broke into this world to give us salvation. And we hear the promise of His return. The Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with great power and glory, with a loud trumpet call. And these very same angels that came to the shepherds in the field will gather Christ's elect people to Him. Many days, we don't really expect that much, do we? And today, it might not be that much of a surprise if one of us or many of us ask a question of someone else along these lines. Can you believe it's Christmas again? Well, it sure is. And that means you are one Christmas closer to eternity. It may even be your last Christmas. Today is the day of salvation. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Unto you, plain, ordinary, untrusted, and unholy you, unto you, no requirements and no catch. The good news of Christmas is that God loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son for you. And when you receive this gift, you have eternal life that starts right now. To all who receive Him, to all who believe in His name, He gives you the right to be a child of God. This Christmas, open your hearts and receive God's most precious gift to you, Jesus Christ, God Himself. Amen.